I'd like to begin our sermon with a reading from the late Max Kutz. When did we ever learn that life was always summertime and spring and harvest time? When was it that someone guaranteed a year of 12 Julys, complete with everlasting picnics and never-ending potato salads? What sort of quaint, mistaken almanac said spring could come without December, that life was all in June, that May and August go on forever? Even winter in ourselves may be the poor soul's fertilizer, and spring within can come only if some winter has come first, can come if something like a seed is kept alive through wintering to sprout and grow. Like earth, we have our seasons too. Life is trouble. Only death is no trouble, proclaimed Sorbet the Greek in a well-known novel. Yes, life is trouble. In one way or another, at one time or another, we have all been broken, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. One hospital chaplain wrote, "Whatever one's belief about death and God, the events of sickness and accident point to the much forgotten and denied fragility of life. Each of us is only a heartbeat away from death, or as likely to be crushed by an airplane wheel as to be diagnosed with a terminal illness tomorrow. The question for me is not, why does this happen? The real question is, how shall we live, knowing that such events are possible?" We struggle with our fragility. I'm broken, fix me, and while you're at it, tell me why. This is our mantra. As one who consistently confronts human brokenness, I am time and again asked what we Unitarian Universalists bring to the table of human brokenness. What do we offer people who suffer accident, terminal disease, and poverty of the spirit? One side of me tends to treat the words of my medical doctor as having been handed down from Sinai. The other side of me resonates with a faith in the capacity of the human will to fight disease. Here I think of Bill Moyer's book, Healing in the Mind, in 1995, which grew out of his public television series. I also think of Unitarian Universalist writer Dan Wakefield. He compiled an experiential catalog of the remarkable powers of human beings to deal with disease and death. The title of his book, Expect a Miracle, the Miraculous Things That Happen to Ordinary People, also 1995. No quacks, these two writers, have no fear. I will not be laying on hands today. What you see is my struggle to come to terms with my religious faith and the desperate need of hurting people to be healed. There is a difference between curing and healing. Curing comes from an intervention in an illness that restores one to health. It is basically a medical term. Healing comes when we mobilize our own inner resources as allies in the healing process. It is really a spiritual term. The word health comes from the root words heal, whole, and holy. To be healthy is literally to be whole. To heal is to make whole. The process might be called holy. But holy also comes when we realize there are some things that we cannot fix, cannot be healed. Healing then comes with the acceptance of the unfixable and with receiving loving support in the face of it. Healing can mean that if we can't cure, we can at least care. We can be a healing presence. We may not be able to cure brokenness, but we can companion the broken. All this begs the question, what is our capacity to heal? I believe we live in a unitary universe within which healing powers operate. We are part and parcel of an infinite whole. We are sent into the world, as our own Ralph Waldo Emerson puts it, with some spending money. We come equipped with resources of spirit, will, and the capacity to heal ourselves within limits. And that's an important part, within limits. But we are more than a body. Within us there resides a spiritual capacity to deal with what fate throws our way. I have faith that this can happen because I've seen it done. It happens in countless people who have been mercilessly buffeted by fate and have maintained their faith in life. I have seen it in those who refuse to feel sorry for themselves when they have been dealt incredible and undeserved blows, suffering which must tempt them to curse God, whether they believe in God or not. And I've seen it in those who make remarkable recoveries from injury and seemingly terminal disease and put their lives back together again. And I've seen it in those who accept the inevitability of their mortality and live with dignity and die with grace. A few days ago, our own Patty Stark died in the hospital with her daughter Rachel and her granddaughter Leah and her caretaker in the room. I believe in this healing, not because of some theological wisdom, but because I've seen it happen. I believe we are sustained by a community of people who care enough to care about us. Knowing we are cared for is a powerful, powerful source of strength. There is in religious community an environment of healing that helps heal us in our brokenness. The very word religion, to bind together, to make whole, implicates that power. There have been times that when we were doing hybrid services, that I got online with the social hour and talked with people, and it occurred to me, and I brought it up, and this sermon's kind of kicking this off, that we'd like to do online a kind of Wednesday with Don, a kind of support group for older folks in their homes. Because in our conversations after service, I remember what you talked about, and I think this would be really helpful. So look out in the Friday blast. If you don't read the Friday blast, read it this Friday. But we're going to set that up, and that way I feel also we can feel more connected as a church. Anyway, at the end of Bill Moyer's book on healing, there is a poem entitled Family by Christine Saxton. She died at the age of 46. Her poem concludes, "In the dark here, I remember your loving hugs, urging me on. I can still see you gathered, such an unlikely family. And I know I can find my way home." What brings us together is our common brokenness. Life is trouble, only death is no trouble. Zorba the Greek's words are our common understanding of our faith. With all our differences, our mortality unites us in a common destiny. Religious community, then, is what I like to call the duct tape of the spirit. Novelist, poet, environmental activist, cultural critic, and farmer Wendell Berry tells of his experience when his brother John was hospitalized with a heart attack and saved by a double bypass surgery. In the hospital, Berry says, the world of love and the world of efficiency come together, but do not meet. The reassuring words of doctors and nurses that all was going according to routine was disquieting to John's wife, Carol, who had been trained as a nurse. Nothing is happening to him that doesn't happen to everybody, a nurse said. To which Carol replied, I'm not everybody's wife. At last, one of the nurses said, do you need a hug? Yes, Carol said, and the nurse gave her a hug. Which brings us, writes Berry, to a startling place. This startling place is a final resource which my faith brings to the table, a hope that transcends optimism. Optimism is the belief that things will inevitably work out for the best. Hope is the faith that we can fashion our own destiny, that we can sustain ourselves no matter what it turns out to be. I think of a dying mother who wrote her six-year-old son a series of birthday cards up to his 18th birthday. This was her way of trying to support him after she is gone. That is a heart-wrenching picture, I know, but what a healing image it conveys. It speaks of a woman who has accepted her fate, but it also envisions a future in which her role is still a powerful presence in the lives of those who follow. We are all, each and every one of us, wounded healers, to use Carl Jung's term. There is not one of us who has not been broken for a time in life. There is not one of us who has not reached out our healing hands to another who needs us. None of us knows what will be our fate tomorrow. We can only be sustained by healing powers that today find us ready to face that fate with composure and hope. I take heart from the words of the German poet Rilke. Miracle doesn't lie only in the amazing living through and defeat of danger. Miracles become miracles in the clear achievement that is earned. To work with things is not hubris. When building the association beyond words, denser and denser the pattern becomes. Being carried along is not enough. Take your well-disciplined strengths and stretch them between two opposing poles, because inside human beings is where God learns. May we learn that within us is a nourishing mystery in which we live and move and have our being. A mystery with a cosmic reach that has the power to heal again and yet again. Amen and blessed be. Our benediction, I'd like to say something before we begin our benediction. In my sermon, if I referred to the support group as elderly, I apologize. I should have said senior. And I'll tell you why that's on my mind, because I got an internist last week. So I have a doctor in Chicago, and he referred to me as elderly. And that rocked me back a little bit. Anyway, our benediction. May we know in our hearts that we who belong to this congregation can be a healing presence for each other. If we dare to make it so, we can bring grace into each other's lives.